Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcomed, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
Well, hey, I just want to say welcome to all the people that are visiting or revisiting for the for the first time. It's nice to see some old faces, some new faces. Whether you're here for a day or you're here until Jesus comes back, please consider yourself welcome. If you don't have a church home, we want you to make this your church home. We've got room for a lot more monkeys on this circus. Amen? It's true, man. We call ourselves the Island of Misfit Toys. That's it. We didn't fit anywhere. We didn't fit in anywhere else, but bless God, we found a home at Faith and Victory. Amen. Amen. Well, hey, let's pray over this sermon. Let's see what the Lord has this morning. Father God, we love you. We praise you. We glorify you this morning in the powerful name of Jesus. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's alive and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. God, we pray today that you would use this word to change us, to convict us, God. We pray today that as we hear from it, that we would leave here different the way that we came. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have you ever felt empty before?
Yeah.
Like spiritually, emotionally empty? The life of Christ in us, as we trudge through this, there's some times where we just begin to feel empty. Just kind of feel like your prayers only reach the ceiling and you can't really go any farther than that. Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
I mean, I've been serving God since 1990, and there still seems to be periods of a spiritual life that just feels like you're walking through a desert. It's just kind of dry and it's empty. Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
Uh-huh.
It's good. I don't trust people that don't go through. I don't trust people that don't ever go through anything. Amen. Just can't seem to shake it. Just can't seem to work through it. Well, today I want to, through the word, impart some power into your life. Amen. Because I believe that God doesn't want us to walk around powerless. I don't believe that God created us to be people that just kind of scrape by. I believe that he wants us to be people that walk in his power on a daily basis. For those of you that are just joining us, we've been going through the book of John for about a year and a half. Amen. You might say, man, you guys move slow. And I say, well, I went to public school, man. So just got to take our time. And the reason why we take it slow is we just figure the slower you go, the more you get out of it. My grandfather used to say, you learn a lot more about your neighborhood when you walk through it instead of driving through it. You walk through it, you see a lot more. So we're going to be in John chapter 10 this morning. We're just going to get through a few verses, once again, verses 17 through 21. As Jesus talking, I know it because it's in red. He says, therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Therefore, there was a division again amongst the Jews because of these sayings. And many of them said, he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to them? Others said, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open up the eyes of the blind? Today I want you to realize from this message that God has power for you, amen? He has more than enough power to see you through anything and everything that you may be going through in your life. The title of today's message is, Jesus Has Power. Now, for those of you that haven't heard me preach before, and I just want to explain so you don't get lost, this is how it goes. I'm going to tell you what it says, I'm going to tell you what it means, and I'm going to tell you what it means to you. Now, halfway through my sermon, after I get through the what does it mean part, you're going to think, wow, he's almost done. I'm just warming up. Amen? I preach for probably around 35, 40 minutes. For those of you that had to be somewhere, you should have went there instead of being here. Amen? Come to the 9 o'clock, you always get out on time. All right, so what does it say? Well, basically what Jesus is saying to these Jews that were sitting here is that he's going to die. And he's doing it on his own choice. He's going to die. He's going to lay down his life. And then through his own power, he's going to pick up his life once again and overcome death. And so then it kind of caused a division amongst these Jews because some believed what he was saying. Some didn't believe what he was saying. And some even went so far to say, don't believe this guy. He has a demon. And then the guys kind of refute back and they say, well, how can he have a demon? Does a demon open up the eyes of the blind? It's just not powerful. It's just not possible. So what does it mean? Well, the first thing it means is this. Is Jesus has power. Amen? Say power.
Power.
Jesus has power. Have people say that stuff sometimes because people don't know how to talk back to me. Amen. The more you give me, the more you get. Amen. That's how it works. Verse 17, he says, therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Now, in this, I want you to understand that no one forces Jesus to do what he doesn't want to do. Amen. We have the power of prayer. We have the ability to ask God for things. But you cannot force Jesus to do anything that he doesn't want to do. Amen. These guys are talking to Jesus and they don't even realize that he's prophesying here. He's telling them what's fixing to happen. Basically, he's telling them the Easter story and Easter's just coming up next month. And he says, I'm going to die of my own choice. And then I'm going to bring myself back to life by my own choice also. And he's telling them this, this kind of cryptic way of laying down my life and picking it up again as a means of letting them know, like, I'm going to do this for you because I want to do it, not because I have to do it. Does that make sense? And some people will say, well, didn't Jesus have to die for the forgiveness of our sins? Yes, he did have to die, but he didn't have to die. He chose to die. Amen. And it's a theological thing that is really important for us to understand. I remember speaking to somebody one time about the crucifixion of Christ, and they said to me, if I would have been there when they were trying to crucify Jesus, I would have stopped them. I wouldn't have let them crucify my Lord. And I said, I'm sure glad that you weren't there. Because I needed him to be crucified. I needed him to be crucified because I needed to be forgiven of my sins. And if you would have stopped them, he wouldn't have been crucified. Now, if somebody would have stopped him, I believe that later on in the story that he still would have gotten crucified because that was where he had to go to take care of the sins of humanity. But theologically speaking, I want you to understand this. It was a foregone conclusion that Jesus must die. It was the only means by which we could be forgiven. It was the only means by which we could inherit eternal life. He had to die. And I love in this scripture that Jesus says he has power. Notice that he doesn't say, I have the power. He doesn't say, I have a power. He says, I have power. There's no qualification. There's no extra word. See, in our mind, we always say, well, I have the power, or I have some power, or I'm going to get a power. Like, no, Jesus says, I have power. Like that's, and to me, it's a very demonstrative, strong statement to say that the power that he has is power. The Greek word for this, and it says ekousia or something. I don't know. I don't read Greek. But I do have a dictionary, and it told me that it said what it means. This power means privilege. That is force, capacity, competency, freedom, mastery, superhuman potentate. Amen. Token of control, delegated influence, authority, jurisdiction, liberty, power, right, strength. Amen. This power that Jesus has is mastery, superhuman, delegated influence of authority. Amen. Strength. Now, I don't know about you, man, but I've always been a little bit impressed with big things that can do big things. I mean, I'm still a little boy, man. I love to watch television programs that are like big dirt movers and big boats and big planes. And come on, does anybody else like looking at that stuff? Some of the only stuff you can watch on TV anymore that doesn't cause you to sin, amen? Maybe a little bit of envy, wishing that you could drive a big old tank through something. I mean, there's something impressive about that. Like, I'm impressed with weightlifting. Like, people that can do a lot of weightlifting, it's neat. And some of you say, well, that seems kind of dumb. Well, okay, well, I know there's something that you like about you. I like cars that have 1,000 horsepower. I think it's neat, you know? I was raised by a weightlifter. My dad was a weightlifter. He still is. He's 77 years old. He's still competing. I spoke to him this week. I said, hey, Dad, how you doing? He's like, I'm just getting ready for the world championships. I'm like, Dad, you're 77, man. Hang up the weight belt. And he said, well, you know, it just ain't time yet. I mean, you can Google my dad. He holds a bunch of world records in his age and weight group. It's pretty impressive. You know, I mean, I was 11 years old, and me and Pastor Jay, I remember we rode our bikes over to my dad's house because my dad was going to lift, he was going to bench press. Everybody know what a bench press is? Would you lay on your back and you do this? Well, my dad on his 50th birthday bench pressed 400 pounds. 400 pounds. Now all the 50-year-old said, amen, right? I mean, that's a lot of weight. Like, wow. I mean, I'm not 50, bless God, but I can't bench 400 pounds. I don't know if there's anybody here. Maybe Dan could maybe bench 400. I don't know if there's anybody in the church that could bench 400. That's a lot of weight. And it's not impressive for any other reason except for it just shows strength, right? Just shows power over something. It just puts me in a sense of awe. But what Jesus did, it wasn't building a big building. It wasn't bench pressing. It wasn't a circus trick. He didn't build a piece of machinery that can move earth or build a boat. What he did was he displayed the fact that he had power over the biggest power that nobody can stop, and that's the power of death. I'm going to tell you an interesting statistic. 1 out of 1 people die. And 100% of them take nothing with them. Yeah, that's almost everybody. Amen. Russ, I swear Russ comes to first service, takes notes, and goes, when he says this second service, I'm going to say this. Amen. Can I do the preaching this morning? Is that all right? Just can't help himself. What was I saying? No one can beat death. No amount of doctors, no amount of medicine, no amount of anything can beat death. Everybody eventually dies of TMB. I learned that from Pastor Jay. TMB, too many birthdays. Everybody eventually dies of TMB. And there's nothing that you or I can do to stop it. Now the gift that Jesus Christ has given us is that we get eternal life in Him. Amen. Because of Jesus Christ, we are going to live forever. Not in this physical body, but we're going to live in new glorified bodies in heaven. But we understand that we serve a God that has mastery over everything, including death. Amen? And this declaration of Christ impending, hasn't happened yet, proof of power over death, has far-reaching ramifications for the believer. Amen? Twice Jesus says, I have power. I have power. He's saying, I have authority. I have superhuman strength. I have force. I have jurisdiction. I have mastery. There is nothing in the world that Jesus does not have power over. Nothing. Amen. Sherry Hahn. Why you just sneak in and don't even want to say hi? What do you think? I'm not going to see my spiritual daughter and not say hi? Love you. Sneak it in through the back. You should have come and say hi to me or else I wouldn't call you out in the service. Amen. Blush. Amen. There is nothing in the world that Jesus doesn't have power over. Somebody told me this story this week. I'd never heard it before. You may have heard it. Did you guys ever hear about Jesus' first miracle? Does anybody remember what it was? Water into wine. All the wine drinkers are like, water into wine. Like, I know that one back and forth. Every time I'm on that second cup, I'm like, you know he turned water into wine. Every wine drinker's justification for having them a little bit of wine. Well, we're not talking about wine specifically, but I was talking to somebody this week about that story, and he shared something with me that I'd never heard before. He said, in that miracle, and it was Jesus' first miracle, he turned the water into wine. Now, if you remember the story, he was at the wedding feast, and he said, bring me the water, and he turned it into wine, and then the wine that was poured out. Does anybody remember what the guy said about the wine that they were drinking? What did they say? It was the best wine, right? Now, I'm not a wine drinker. I never have been, and bless God, I never will be. That's what happens when you have Carlo Rossi when you're in the fifth grade. You never have wine ever again. And so... No way, man. Never forget that day. So what's interesting about that story is that he proved not only that he was able to do creative miracles, but that creative miracle of wine is that good wine takes a long time to ferment, does it not? It takes a long time to make good wine. And Jesus even proved in that story his ability to immediately change something, to even make something seem as though it had gone through time. Amen? Amen. He's even God over time. Amen. Not only is he God over death, he's God over time. There's nothing in this world that Jesus does not have power over. Amen. Jesus has power over division. Verse 19, therefore there was a division again amongst the Jews because of these sayings. Repeatedly we see Jesus being the source of division and contention among the people. Now, I understand that Jesus is a unifier, but he was also a divider. Many times in the Bible, he is a divider. He separates the sheep from the goats, the wheat from the weeds, the good from the bad. Jesus is a guy that comes in and he draws dividing lines and he says, you are either on this side of the line or you on that side of the line. There is no half-step in lukewarm attempts to try to be on whatever side you are with God. Either you are with God or you are not with God. You can't. I've never met somebody who was kind of married. Amen?
Come on.
You can't be kind of married. Either you are married or you are not married. In Luke chapter 12, and you can turn there with me. In Luke chapter 12, verses 51 through 53, he says, do you suppose that I have come to give peace on the earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. For from now on, five in one house will be divided, three against two and two against three. Father will be divided against son and son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. I'm not trying to scare you or encourage you to distance yourself from other people. I'm just pointing out the fact. Jesus says and does things that forces people to make a decision. Either you are with Jesus or you are not with Jesus. Either you believe in Jesus or you do not believe in Jesus. Either you agree he is who he says that he is or you do not agree with who he says that he is. You can't live in this world where you believe that he was a good moral teacher or he just had some good ideas. Either he is Lord or he is not Lord.
Amen.
There's no halfway between that. But Jesus is still Lord over division. He's completely fine with there being a dividing line of some people that are going to believe and some people that are not going to believe. I love in this verse where it says there was a division amongst the Jews. Now, many times I read this verse before, I always seem to think about the bad people that didn't agree. I was like, bad people divided. But then it occurred to me, I thought, wait a minute. If there's people that didn't agree, there's people that did agree. Amen. There were some guys during that time that saw Jesus and realized that he was Messiah, that they saw Jesus and he truly was Lord. There were some people that made heaven because they said, amen, this is the one that we've been waiting for. This is the Messiah. Amen. There were Jews that believe. You can't have division unless there's a disagreement. And apparently some saw the truth that Jesus was in fact Lord, that he was Messiah, that he was the chosen one. Glory to God. But Jesus has power over this. He has power over death. He has power over any division that may happen. He's not worried about it. He's not concerned with it. If he has power over death, he has power over divisions, and it needs to happen. The truth is, there needs to be some dividing lines in life. There has to be a point where you just kind of make a decision, like, this is what I am, this is what I'm not, this is what I'm going to do, this is what I'm not going to do. This is just part of my personality, but I can't stand people that are bad at making a decision. Make a bad decision, but just make a decision, man. Like, don't stand on the edge and just, well, maybe, maybe not, maybe, man, just do something. Once you start moving forward, you can make adjustments as you go, but standing there just trying to decide before, man, just let's go. Amen. I'm preaching. Let's go. Jesus also has power over insults.
Amen.
Verse 20. And many of them said, he has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to them? Now, I am sure that there are things that I've said in my life that God will show to me that I will be less than proud of.
Amen.
There's been things that I've said that I'm not pleased with. But as I read this, I wondered, what's it going to be like for the guys that said that Jesus had a demon? What's it going to be like for that guy? for the guy that said, no, I don't think he's Messiah. I think he's full of the devil. And then standing before God and just kind of answering for that. I'm like, yeah, man, I thought he was a devil. I was just kidding. I was just joking. I didn't really mean that. It's no different than today, though. Even today, there are people right now, as you sit here in this church, that think that you are a whack job. They do, man. They think you're crazy. They think you're nutty. They think you're dumb because you believe in God, because you believe in the Bible. You somebody was like, hey, man, you want to go on Sunday? You're like, nope, got church, can't go. You're like, why are you so weird? And I mean, they pick on us, right? Fairy tales and lies. And it's really interesting. People that have never read the Bible think they know what it says. You know what I mean? In this day and age, people still think that we're, you know, we're full of demons, or it's funny, they believe in the devil, but they don't believe in God. How does that work? But interestingly enough, insults never bothered Jesus. He just seemed to handle them. Like somebody would say something to him, he's like, whatever, man. I'm God. I don't have to deal with that. There's a measure of strength that comes with being able to not have to respond to every insult that comes at you. 1 Peter 2:23, who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you're healed. Jesus displays in this scripture that insults are not going to be an influence in him accomplishing what God has sent him to accomplish. Do you know how easy it is to get sidetracked by insults?
Yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah.
Maybe you guys don't get insulted enough.
Oh, I do.
Yeah. See me after service. Amen? It's easy, man. You can be doing the right thing and somebody says something and then all of a sudden you can't get past anything but what that person said to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
What they commented on your Facebook, what they sent you on a text message, what you heard from somebody else. Come on, amen, somebody help me out. You guys look at me like, no, man, it's just you. Jeez, man. The truth rarely has to be defended.
There you go.
The truth rarely has to be defended. Jesus is not this way. Call him a demon, question his authority. Jesus is like, I'm not worried about it. Verse 21, others said, these are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Jesus doesn't defend himself. Other people defend Jesus. Make it clear that Jesus is not a demon. Amen. He isn't a bad person. You know, Pastor Jay and Shelley and Crystal and I, we all went to a funeral a year or so ago. And part of my personality is that I have a hard time keeping my mouth shut. And that's just the way that I am. And if my mom was sitting here, it'd be the first time. She'd be like, amen, that's true. I don't know, for whatever reason, man, if I see something going on wrong or something's happening, like, I just have a hard time holding my tongue. So we're at this funeral, and I don't know if you've ever been to a funeral. They're usually not that fun, but this one was kind of fun. And there was the young man that had died, there was a connections with him with street gangs and everything. And so just previously, a few weeks earlier, there was another funeral in Seattle where there had been a shooting at a funeral, and some of those guys ended up at this funeral. And so, hey man, it's pretty cool. So you're in there, and they have the open time, you know, when people come up and they can grab the microphone. And now I am a pastor that if somebody stands up here and you're halfway through a sentence that to me seems like is blasphemous or wrong, like I'm, excuse me, thank you, and I'll usher you off. Like, that's just kind of my personality. Well, this service, and I use that word very loosely, people began to stand up and say things that in a church that I was like, how is this possible that nobody is stopping this? Like, the church is in the front and the... And I was on the other side, and the pastor's just, he's sitting there like this, just, And people were like, they're blaspheming God. There's people are dropping cuss words. Some guy got up that was a Muslim who's on public access, like screaming in the microphone kind of Muslim. And he gets up in the church and pastor's sitting over there saying like, and all of a sudden, say something, do something. They're tearing down the walls of Christianity, defend our faith. And he's just over on the side, just like, And I tell you, as a pastor, watching the control that this pastor had to just like, that's fine. It taught me something about my pastoring. It taught me something about my nature that, like, you know what? God is so much stronger than we think he is. Amen. His truth is so much more evident than we think it is. And so as I sat there and watched these people, like, it carried on for a good half an hour, man. Good half an hour. Nothing. Now, the end of the story, because the teaching moment was me watching the pastor show restraint. But the good news is that he got up and talked. Man, I never seen better preaching in my life. He said, now, y'all said your piece. Now I'm going to say mine. And boy, he let them have it. It was good. He was like, you guys think all your friends are in heaven? That ain't true. You think there's more than one way to heaven? That ain't true. Like, he just let them have it. Crystal's like, amen. Pastor's like, that sister hears me. She got it. It was so great, man. It was great. So what does it mean to you, man? The first thing, my wife ain't afraid of nobody, man. I'm like, these people are strapped. Let's get out of here. We're walking out. She's like, God has a word for you. Put that down. Amen. All right, here we go. So what does it mean to you? The first thing it means to you is this. Recognize Jesus' power. Amen. Many a Christian has gone through a period of their life forgetting that they are in relationship with the one who has power. Not the power, but power, the ultimate of power, the ultimate authority. Amen? Folks, I will tell you, it is easy to forget, to just go through your day forgetting that the one who created the earth and raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. And that he wants his power to manifest in your life. Amen? He wants it to manifest. He wants you to go to where you're at in your workplace, or in your community, in your school, wherever it is. He wants your life to be so full of his power that when people see you, they see God.
Amen.
And in this day and age, more and more, the only thing that is going to convince an unbelieving generation is supernatural things.
Yeah,
they've seen every trick in the book, but once somebody gets healed, you can't deny that. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Jimmy was telling me, look, he raised his hand. He wanted to testify. He was telling me right before service, he had a pain in his knee all week long. By faith, he went and talked to his boss, who was a Christian. He said, boss, he's at work. Would you please pray for my leg? I don't know if I can continue to work. Boss right there in the office, man, let's go. Papa, pray over him. What happened to your knee pain?
Huh? No. Today I was out running laps at the gym.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, and to an unbelieving generation... To an unbelieving generation, they're like, wait a minute, Brother Jimmy couldn't walk last week. He went into the boss's office, and now he can walk. Amen? I love that stuff. Jesus has power for whatever you need. There's a story in Luke chapter 8 where Jesus is walking through a crowd, and there's this lady who needed a healing from Jesus. It was a lady with the issue of blood. And in this story, there's a big crowd and everybody's kind of clamoring around. And this lady says, oh man, Jesus is the only one that has the power. He's the only one that can get me what I need. And so she reaches in through the crowd and just grabs the hem of Jesus' garment. And then the scripture says in Luke chapter 8, it says, but Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me. Folks, those that call on Jesus will receive his power. All you have to do is call on him. All you have to do is reach out to him. If you will reach out to him, you will receive that power. But what happens is that we walk around in this world forgetting that. Forgetting that God has that power for us. Amen. 1 Corinthians 5:4, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, that's us, along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it's so powerful for us to come together as believers. When we come together and God is in our midst, the Holy Spirit is in the midst of us, and God is able to do miraculous things and powerful things and repair hearts and bring his forgiveness and heal the body and do miraculous, powerful things. Acts 4:33, and with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. Folks, God wants to impart his power in your life so that when you go out and you share who he is, it comes with power.
Yes. Yes.
You say, well, how come nobody comes to church when I invite him? How come nobody receives Christ when I share it? Well, maybe you're not doing it with his power. Yes. You're trying to do it on your own strength. Yes. Amen. Yes. Praying and believing that it is through God and his power that the greatest things on earth can be accomplished through us so that he can get the glory.
Amen.
I guarantee you, I don't know your boss, but I guarantee you, your boss isn't talking about I healed Jimmy. He said God healed Jimmy. Amen. And God gets the glory. God gets the power. It's not for us.
Amen.
We need to be in a place where we're allowing his power to come into our lives in a way that draws people to him.
Amen.
Signs and wonders, whatever it is. People can't deny signs and wonders. They can't deny that somebody was sick and now they're healed. Somebody was hurt and now they're well. They can't deny it.
Yeah.
I love Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth. Amen? It's only possible through the impartation of the Holy Spirit in our lives to be able to do this. No spirit, no power. You can't share Christ without his power. Because people look at you like, dude, you are a puppet. You are just sharing something that you don't even believe. If you truly have received Christ's spirit inside of you, if you've truly received his power, when you share it with people, they receive it because they know it's of God. Amen? You must recognize it. Folks, power unrealized is power unutilized. Amen? Have you ever had the power go out in your house?
Yeah.
Say amen if you ever had power go out in your house. Now, if you live up in Covington where I live, there's a bunch of trees and we get power out all the time. Well, I learned about this neat little invention called a generator. Amen? And I tell you, lose power for 5 days and you're like, I don't care what it takes, I'm getting a generator. So when the power goes out at our house, it's really interesting because as soon as it goes out, you would think Jesus himself is returning the way that my kids respond. They're like, there's no power! Like, I don't know if you know this. Kids, if they don't have a lighted screen and within 6 inches of their face for long, like within 30 seconds, they're like, come on.
Yeah.
I know you adults aren't like that, but the kids are. So the power goes out at my house, and so, of course, you know, Dad's going to slay the dragon. I go out in the shed, and I pull out my big old generator. You got to put the stake in the ground because you got to ground it. And then I've got literally probably like 15 extension cords in my garage. Like there's this big post. So then I got to plug in all my extension cords, and they're going through the house. And, you know, I got my freezer and my fridge and all that other stuff. And the kids just like plug in their little charger. It's like, oh, thank you. Oh, and I can play this dumb game. I don't need anything else but this game. And so... So then you're sitting in the house with the one light bulb and the fridge is on, and but it's just kind of different not having all the power, right? So then you're sitting there and it's just kind of whatever, but then the power come back on, right? And then all of a sudden, oh, the power back on! You call back, amen, the power's back on. You walk through the house, you're flipping on every single light in the house. Like, put in some clothes in the dryer, turn on the vacuum, let's get that microwave going. Now whatever it takes, we just need more power, more power, more power. Come on, am I the only one that does that?
Yeah.
Just walking through, turn on every single power.
It works.
This is my spiritual question for you this morning. Why would you live on generator power when you can live on big power?
Yeah.
Some of y'all have been having you guys have been living on a spiritual generator instead of just plugging into the real power and just like, man, I need his power. Amen. Why would you only want half of God's power?
Amen.
I want it all. Man, if I could walk on water, I think it'd be pretty neat.
Yeah.
If I could just go down to Green River and be like, hey man, I'm going to be walking on water and I'll do an altar call after. Watch this. Like, I would take it.
Yeah.
I would take every last part of power that Jesus could give me. I want it. Because the truth is that I need all of his power in my life. I need it for my life. I need it for my marriage, for my parenting, for my friendships, in my leadership. I need him every day and every way. I cannot make it in this life without his power.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's just, and I use this word lightly, I don't know if it's just the maturity in my life that as I'm growing older, like when you're younger, you don't lean on God that much because you think you can do everything on your own. But the older you get to this place of like, man, I've kind of exhausted everything I've got. Kind of done everything I can do. I need some help here. And God's just like, I've been waiting for this, man. I'll let you go do stuff on your own power. I've got all that you need. And then you come back and then all of a sudden he imparts this thing, these things and you never thought possible, but they're from him. They're not from you. Amen?
Amen.
Recognize Jesus' power. Also, be divided on the right side.
Amen.
Verse 19, therefore there is a division again amongst the Jews because of these sayings. Like I said, division sometimes is a good thing because these Jews were on the right side. They're on the correct side of division. Some guys said that he was in fact Lord. Some said he was in fact the Messiah. Many a politician likes to use the phrase being on the right side of history. And honestly, I think it's the wrong gauge to judge actions on. I have learned to not put my faith in politicians. Do you know why? Because they change. Some of those guys in Congress don't. They stick around far too long. That's another story. I think the number one thing we could do to help America is term limits in Congress. Dude, seriously, if you haven't figured it out in 12 years, you're not going to figure it out in 50, man. I'll tell you that. What am I talking about? I almost started riffing. I do not want to be on the right side of history. I want to be on the right side of eternity.
Yeah. Amen.
I want to make heaven, man. And I will tell you, if history has taught me anything, there is a bunch of lunkheads throughout history that thought they were on the right side of history that they weren't. They put people in slavery, or they bombed the wrong person, or whatever it is, man. They just, and then later on, like, oh yeah, we probably shouldn't have done that. We thought it was good at the time. Right? Do you guys not pay attention to history? You should read some more history.
Yeah.
I don't care, man. There's stuff that's going on in America right now that people are like, you need to be on the right side of history. I don't want to be on the right side of history. I want to be on the right side of eternity. Amen. I don't want to miss heaven because I wasn't willing to side with the Lord.
Amen.
Sometimes division is a good thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes division causes multiplication, and that's good division.
Yeah.
When more churches are planted, when ministries grow, when we divide and conquer, that's good division. Division of labor, that's good. More people to help out, the better. And sometimes it's good to separate the wheat from the weeds. Amen?
Amen.
Make sure this morning, friend, hear me on this. Make sure that you're divided on the right side. Make sure that when you're deciding whether or not to put your faith in yourself or your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you put your faith in Jesus to save you, redeem you, and to fill you. Because that really, there's no other way to make it, man. There's no other way for you to make heaven. You cannot make heaven on your own. Excuse me. I figured this out. There's two ways to make heaven. Either you accept Jesus Christ as Lord, or you're born of a virgin and live a perfect life. So you can either be born of a virgin and live a perfect life, or you can receive Christ as Lord. Amen? That's the only options that there are. You've got to be divided on the right side. And for those of you that are sitting here today, you're like, you know what, Pastor? It's good, man. I'm with Jesus. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. I'm good. But there might be even an area of your heart that you're divided. You're just kind of like, you know what? My heart's divided on this. Division is not good. Like, half-heartedness is not good. Don't be double-minded. The Bible says in James 1:8, he is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Don't be a double-minded person. Don't. There are going to be people in your life that are going to try to pull you over to the wrong side of division.
Yeah, that's right.
They're going to try to pull you over to their nastiness. They're going to try to pull you over to their nonsense. Try to pull you into an area of your life that you've been delivered from. Don't go back to that. Amen? Stand firm. Don't let them do it. And thirdly, let God vindicate you.
Amen.
Let God vindicate you. Let other people defend you. Notice in this verse, these guys call Jesus a demon, and then other people step up and say, you're false. He's not a demon. Other people defended Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
The best thing is for other people to defend you and for other people to sing your praises.
Yeah.
The best people to defend you are other people. Now, I'm just going to be frank with you for a minute. Is that okay, just between you and me? I do not excel at this. Okay? Some people get this idea that a pastor isn't allowed to preach something that he doesn't walk in perfection in. I just don't believe that because I'm not preaching myself. I'm preaching the Bible.
Yeah, amen.
And sometimes when I'm preparing this message throughout the week and the Holy Spirit's moving, I'm like, ouch, man, isn't this for someone else? Sure think they need to work on this. Holy Spirit says, like, no, Matt, you do not excel at this. I will tell you, I'm letting God grow me in this area. I even wrote it down. I have a hard time keeping my mouth shut when I feel as though I have been wronged. Come on, anybody amen me, please? Man, I love you guys so much. I'm so glad I'm not the only one. This week I was working with a professional over email. And honestly, the guy was just rude. We began to talk a little bit earlier in the week. And then as we moved forward, it just took a really odd turn. You know, he was insulting me and insulting our church. And it was, you know, he's got an MBA, so he makes it seem as though he's not saying what he's saying. But luckily, your pastor has a master's degree, too, so I can decipher his nonsense. My God, man, I might have went to Ballard, but I still got a degree, man. So, So this guy, man, I mean, we're kind of doing this back and forth. And went from like, hey, man, I want to show you something to like, hey, sign this contract that I emailed to you before you've ever even met me. I'm like, dude, I do not sign contracts with people I've never met in the flesh. Understand this. She's like, well, if you know, blah, 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 blah. So you remember this big, long email ripping me apart. And, you know, I just don't like it, man. It's just the honest truth. You know, if somebody's going to do me like that, like I'm not like the one that's like, oh, okay, it's fine. Like, so I picked up the phone and I'm like, oh, you about to email me? I'm about to call you, man. Well, I didn't cuss. I didn't use any swear words. I would have had the conversation in front of you, and you probably would have been like, wow, I didn't know Pastor Matt had that gear. But I just called him out on it for no other reason than I wanted him to know that I knew he was wrong. I'm never going to see this guy again. I'm never going to do business with him. But you know what? He knows that he ain't going to get one up on old Matt Krachunas. I should have kept my mouth shut. That's the honest truth. I should have just kept my mouth shut. Like, what did I accomplish? Now he's somewhere talking about, you know, this guy down in Auburn. He think he all that. And I'm just like, well, I did for a minute. I thought I was all that. I should have just kept my mouth shut. I'm not in relationship with him. And I'm throwing myself on the coals because I'm repenting, but also you guys don't deal with this much. So I want to show you, you know, don't charge after someone in a parking lot and knock on their window. You done with your cart? I'll put it away for you. That doesn't go well. I've learned that also. Don't walk across the gym to the big guy. You're like, hey, man, you want me to rack your weights? Are you done? I'm not good at keeping my mouth shut, man. I'm learning that. So if not for you, if only for me, these scriptures are for old Pastor Matt today. Hebrews 12:3, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Folks, the punishment that Jesus experienced is nothing. What we experience is nothing compared to the punishment that Jesus experienced. It pales in comparison. Nobody got crucified this week. Nobody got stabbed in the side. Nobody got a crown of thorns and flogged. Nobody got that. So when we're going through those things, I'm supposed to consider Christ in those times. Amen. During opposition in our lives, we should consider this scripture. Consider Jesus. He will take care of us and see us through the situation. 1 Peter 3:9, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Folks, when we hold our tongue, the scripture declares that we get a blessing for that. That God will vindicate us, that God will take care of us. As Christians, we need to hold our tongue. We need to leave room for the Holy Spirit. Romans 12:19, I need to get it tattooed right here so I can just remind myself of it. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. I truly believe that anybody that treats a child of God wrong will get dealt with. I just do. And not because God is a vengeful God, but just God cares about you. And somehow, some way, it gets worked out. Either on this side of eternity or on the other side of eternity, it's all going to be made right. And it's not our job to make sure that it gets made right. It's God's job to make sure that it gets done right. Amen. Let God be your defender. You will find that He will do a better job than you. Amen? He will do a better job than you. Would you close your eyes? Would you bow your heads for a moment? This is the last part of this. As there is division, I want to ask you that question today. Have you chose life yet? Have you received the gift that Christ provides? Do you believe that He is who He says that He is? Because today, whether you realize it or not, there is division in your life. Either you're on the right side of eternity or you're on the wrong side of eternity. And God has been patient with you, and He has been dealing with your heart before you ever walked through this door today. And He's pleading with you today. Would you please come to me? Would you choose life? It's interesting. I talked to a gal a few weeks ago and she said, you know, I didn't become a Christian until I was 40 years old because I always thought I wasn't good enough. I always thought I don't want to agree to that because I'm not going to be able to follow the rules and I know I'm going to fail. And somebody shared to her, they said, you know what? It's not about following the rules. That's not what saves you. Becoming a Christian is realizing you cannot save yourself. It's putting your faith in what Jesus did on the cross to forgive you of your sins, to usher you into eternity. Turn away from the world and turn towards God. To believe that He is who He says that He is. And I want to invite you today, if you've never made a decision to follow Christ before, would you just raise your hand? I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. If you need to make that decision, would you just raise your hand and say, that's me. I want to give my life to Christ. And I want to pray for you. Hallelujah. Is there anybody else? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Choose life today. Now, the Holy Spirit today is going to become so real to you like you've never experienced before. Right now, the Holy Spirit is speaking to your spirit. He's renewing your spirit. You are a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come, and all this is reconciled before God. God is making it right now in your heart. And it's not because of your goodness, it's because of His goodness. He's giving you a new heart right now. He's giving you a new mind right now. He's changing everything about you right now. He's taking you from death to life. The Bible declares if you confess Him as Lord, that you will live forever with Him. Now for the rest of us, and just give me another moment here. There may be an area of your life where you're divided, that you've kind of waffled back and forth between either this is of God or this is not of God, or I've been kind of going back and forth. Today, would you just allow the Lord to bring you over to that side of right, away from wrong, whatever that area of your life is, and declare that to Him today. So you know what, God, I'm going to go on this side. I'm not going to be divided any longer. God, I'm going to receive Your power in my life so that I can walk through this life. And I haven't received that in a tangible way in a long time. Father God, I thank You for those two people that raised their hands today. God, I pray right now that You would become so real to them that they will never deny again that You are in fact Lord over their lives, God. Father, we praise You and we thank You for it. We glorify You for it in Jesus' name, God. As they are confessing You as Lord, God, I pray that You receive them. Father, as You're becoming real to them, I pray that this will be a transformational moment in their lives. And God, I pray for us, all of us right now, that You would just impart Your power in us in a new way, in a new powerful way, that we could walk on this earth as emissaries and ambassadors of You. Those areas of our lives where we're divided, God, would You bring us on Your side? Would You bring us where You want us to be? Help us to no longer fight You, but to just go with where You're trying to take us anyway, which is on the right side of eternity. Father, we glorify You today, Lord. We lift You up. We praise You and thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Amen.